Almighty. We thank God for bringing us together. We lift His name and we exalt His holy name. We magnify Him and we give Him all the honor, the glory, and the exaltation He deserves. Children, we're going to dismiss our children. From 9 to 12, you're going upstairs and the rest of the children are going downstairs. Before you go, wait. Before you go, wait. Go back. Go to your parents. Let's just pray with them before they go. Let's just pray with the children before they go. Father, we thank you. We praise you and we worship you. We give you glory. We thank you for our children in the house. Thank you for what you're doing in their lives. Father, we thank you for devoted teachers who have committed themselves to raising these children in the love and the fear of you. Father, as they go, we commit them into your holy hands. We pray that you will bless them. We pray that you will touch them. May the words, may the teaching that they receive today be a lifting spirit in their minds, O Lord. May it be freedom. May it be liberty. May they grow to fulfill the word that is spoken to them today. May they grow to grow in the form and the stature to which you have called them to be. May their purposes be established today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Our children, you are dismissed. 3 to 12, you're going upstairs. And then the rest are all going downstairs. Have a blessed time. Enjoy your time. We thank God. Shall we put a clap offering? Let's clap to the Lord for the devoted people who serve in this house. We want to thank God for the devoted people who serve in this house. Didn't you enjoy the praise and worship today? You enjoyed the singing, right? We give glory to God. We give honor to God. We thank Him. Did you enjoy it when you came in and the whole place was looking nice and the doors were opening for you and you were walking in? Glory to God. This is our White House, isn't it? We give glory and honor to God that we have devoted men and women who can come and serve like that. We give glory to God. Let's clap them again. God bless you. May you be blessed. May your labor never go in vain. May your labor never go in vain. Glory to God. We thank God. This morning, I'm excited. I am excited. I am with gladness. I am with happiness. I am with exceeding joy. I am with abundance of joy. Because I am in the house of the Lord. There are many places I could have been tonight, today. But by God's grace, by God's mercies, and by the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are here today. We give Him the praise. We give Him the glory. We give Him all the honor and adoration. Lord, we bless you. We thank you. I am with great honor and humility in my heart to come and serve here. We thank God for this opportunity. I'm telling you, I appreciate it more than everything. And so I just want you to know that we are all definitely by His grace going to fulfill His will for our lives. We will wait upon Him. He will lead us, He will guide us, and we will pursue the destiny to which He has for all of us. Church, I am blessed because today I have a message of gladness. I want to speak to you. There's been times I have visited and I have operated on a different level. Today I want to operate on a certain level because by God's grace we are family now. By God's grace, I am your pastor, and by God's grace, I have come to serve. By God's grace, I have come to make sure His will for your life comes to pass. By God's grace, I have come to make sure Kenny knows that there is a God in this city. We bless God. We exalt God. We magnify God. We exalt Him. Hallelujah. Worthy is you, Lord. Praise.
you. Honor is you. Praise and adoration to our living God. Father, we thank you. We bless you. Thank you, Lord. We lift you up high. We praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. We thank God. We thank God for what he's doing in our lives. We are going to go into our message that I have for us. I'll call my dear sister Daliani to come and read the passage for us. Daniele, feel free.
Good morning, church. All right, so the very first verse that we're reading, we're going to have to stand and we're going to smile while we read it. Oh, yeah. Psalms 122. When you find it, shout amen with a happy face. Amen. Let's read together. Psalms 122. I was glad. I was what?
Glad.
I was what?
Glad.
I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Amen. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For thrones are just set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity with your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be with you. Because of the house of the Lord your God, I will seek your good. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Shall we pray? Shall we pray? Glory to God. Speak to the Lord. Start speaking to the Lord. Open up to him. Allow him to minister to you today. Release yourself. Release yourself. Set your mind here. Be here while you are here. We bless you, Lord. We exalt you. We magnify you. You are God. You are Lord. We praise you. We praise you. We thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Spirit of our living God, thank you. Shall we please bring our personal prayers to an end while I pray? Father, we thank you. We praise you and we worship you. We give you glory for this opportunity to be in your presence. Thank you that you have a word for us. We pray you take absolute control and you will speak to us. We open up to you, Spirit of our living God. In Jesus' mighty name, have your way amongst us. Do what you are here to do, that you alone will be glorified in the end. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. Glory to God. Shall we please sit down? We give praise to God. We give praise to God. We give praise to God. So as you see in this passage, as our sister read for us, King David is writing a psalm of ascent. These psalms of ascent were psalms which were written in the Old Testament, in the old days, in the history of the Israelites. They used to go to the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem to them was the city where they encountered God. Their temple was there, and God told them, God chose Jerusalem. When you look at 1 Kings 11:36, God chose Jerusalem. The end part of it is a I'll read it all. And to his son, this is God speaking of David, and he says, 1 Kings 11:36, and to his son I will give one tribe, that my servant David may always have a lamp before me in Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen for myself to put my name there. chosen for myself in Jerusalem but to put for my name there. And so when you go ahead and you study scripture in 2 Chronicles 6:22, King Solomon, after building the temple in Jerusalem, when he prayed, amongst the many prayers he did, this is what he said. Verse 20, 2 Chronicles 6:20, that your eyes may be open towards this temple day and night, towards the place where you said you would put your name, that you may hear the prayer which your servant makes towards this place. That you may hear the prayer which your servants make towards this place. So what he is even saying is that apart from you responding to us when we come here to pray, if any of your children are not able to even make it to the temple, when they turn towards where the temple is and they pray, may you bless them. Awesome, right? God chose to put himself in a temple. So they would go there in the year. They would go 3 times in the year just to be in the house of the Lord. Just to be in the house of the Lord. And when you study scripture, you find that this is significant to the Christian, to the children of God, because God has an agenda. While he put himself in the city of Jerusalem as in the temple, he had an agenda where he has chosen a place for his people to worship him, for his people to encounter him, a place where human beings, man and woman, would come and meet him. He chose, not us choosing, not people choosing. And so you find that the whole of the Old Testament gives us a good understanding of this destination, this final place where human beings are supposed to be in order to worship God. And it is only now in the New Testament, only through faith in Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. So there are many ways to worship God, but the only true way to worship God is through Jesus Christ. So now there is no geographical place of worshiping anymore. Now it is by faith. That is why Jesus said to the woman at the well, there is a time coming where the true worshiper will worship the Lord in truth and in spirit. In truth and in spirit. By believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, you stand in a position of worshiping God. Glory to God. And so King David, writing here as part of the songs that they used to sing when they are on their journey to the temple to go and give praise to God, he says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. When they said, King David is glad. King David is glad. God had invited human beings to come in his presence. And for him, that is with joy for him. He sees that as an opportunity to praise God. Even though the journey to Jerusalem wasn't an easy journey during those times, wherever they were, they traveled, some for months on the road, just to go to the temple, to go and gather and praise God. You see, it is important for us to understand that it is God's will that we throw big concerts to his name. People say, oh, worshiping God is in you. Worshiping God. It is true. There is a place for you having your personal relationship with God. And as a matter of fact, a child of God has to have that personal relationship with God. There is also the place whereby in your home with your family, you have that relationship with God, that worship of God, that communion with God. And there is also the place where children of God, when we decide to come together like this, you believing in the Lord, I believing in the Lord, we being the temple, as Jesus said, that you kill this destroy this temple and I will raise it in 3 days. As Jesus being the head of the church now, we accepting him as our Lord, when we all agree and decide on a place where we choose to worship the Lord, the word of God says that where two or more shall gather in my name, there I will be. And so as we have chosen this place as a place where we all believe in the Lord, we come and exhort him. He says when we come, he will be here, a place where he has chosen to encounter us. And so it is a great privilege as a child of God to be with joy, to get up and come to church. Glory to God. Wake up and come to church. Today churches are spending thousands and billions of dollars to put together buildings just so that people can come from all nations, all backgrounds, all generations, all ages, to come together to worship him and exalt him. And when his children come together like this, he also descends amongst them and he does great and mighty things. And so as a church in this place where we come to worship him, when we come, we need to come with excitement. I started looking forward to coming here from Friday. I was looking forward to coming here. We started planning, myself and my wife. We have 2 young kids, a baby too. And so we started planning last night. What time we are going to get here. We planned and we set alarms and everything just so that we don't get late to the presence of the Lord. We have to be excited about the presence of God. Coming together with believers. David had joy in that. He was glad. He looked forward to that. And we have to look forward to coming to the house of God. We have to have joy. We have to celebrate coming to God. I know with younger people, it's not easy. I remember when I was young, my mom would come and wake me up. Papa, get up. You have to get ready for church. Even this morning when I was waking my son up, he started making up an excuse. I am coughing. I'm not feeling well. You don't want to come. You don't want to be. But I want to encourage you today. Be with joy to come to the presence of God. Be with joy to come among the people of God. Be with excitement. Have an expectation. Whether you are young, whether you are old, God wants to meet you and I. God wants to meet you and I. I know sleeping is good. But there is a time for everything under the sun. There is time to make money. There is time to go and work and earn income. There is time to take care of the family at home. There is time to sit down and eat together as a family. And there is also time to go together with Christians to worship. And so we have to prioritize the times that we agree, we put together as a church to come together to praise God. Our Bible study times, our prayer times, our service times. We need to understand that God desires that we come in his presence. God desires. So why is David excited? Why is David excited? There are 3 points that I want to discuss with you here. The first one is unity among God's people. Look at the verse 3. He says, Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. A city that is compact together. You might be thinking, what is this? A city that is compact. And historians agree with David on saying this, that according to them, the city was very well built. It was very compact. All the walls were knitted together. The homes were knitted together. It was so compact, all together, united. And so this frame of a building, big city, walled with things all cluttered together, creates a picture of stability and nothing can penetrate.
Jerusalem, a great city that is impenetrable. And so when you think of it like that, it gives us a picture of unity. When you want to penetrate Jerusalem, you have to have some divine extra strategy to be able to penetrate. And the church is like that. We have to have unity amongst us. We have to, for David, coming among God's people is where he sees unity. Unity is a big thing in the house of God. What can bind people together than the love of our Lord Jesus Christ? It is only Jesus who can bind us together. Look at where we've all come from. Look at who we are. As I stand up here and I look down here with the different colors and the different race, different accents and different soundings, whoever we are, we have all in the church for some minutes have put aside our differences. We have put aside our race and our color and our whoever, and because of Jesus dying on the Calvary cross, we come together to exalt him. We come together to exalt him. We come together to exalt him. And so unity is something Ephesians 4:1-3 talks about. I, Apostle Paul speaking, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, and endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The Spirit creates unity, but we have to work at keeping unity. See how this building has been here for years. Different people have come in and gone. People from all backgrounds have come in and gone, but there is still West Hudson Christian Center. People have united over the years to keep this place going. And we can also continue this journey by coming together, uniting together to press on to fulfill God's purpose for us. Unity is the key. Unity is the key. Unity is the key. Unity. Then the second point King David wants to raise here is the people. He says in the verse 4, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord. Jerusalem was the place where all Israelites met one another from all parts of the region in obedience to God's command. It is the place appointed. It is the place appointed for two things. The first one was to receive instruction from God. They came together to receive instructions from God. And so when we come together amongst us here, by God's grace, his word is here. And we come for instructions. Just as it was in the olden days, they would go all the way to Jerusalem. Now, when we come to the house of God, we have the opportunity to receive instructions from the word of God. That is why you have people in the house of God who devote themselves to listening, spending time in the presence of the Father, hearing a word from the Father to share with the Father's people. That was what the priest used to do. And today it is no different from the pastor that is really seeking God's will for his people. Spending time in his presence. Not just that, we become blessing to one another. We all come with songs and hymns. Oh, when you are greeting at the gate, people are saying, God bless you, Pastor Barnes. God bless you, Pastor Barnes. I am receiving blessing.
Everything that has been going on here, right from the ministration from here, right from the Bible studies we were having, we are receiving instructions. How to live for God, how to honor God, how to praise God, and how to trust Him. The second one, to ascribe the glory to God. You see, we come here not for any reason, but by the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We come to ascribe His glory. Give Him the glory He deserves. I was looking and watching when we were singing and people's arms are up. Some are lying down on the floor. We are giving Him glory. We are giving Him glory. And in this house, we need to prioritize glorifying our Lord, exalting our Lord, magnifying Him. When you come here, it is not to come and show off anything. It is not because of your social statute. It is not because of your race. It is not because of your agenda or your gender. But it is just to come and exalt our Lord God, to worship Him and to sing worship praise to His holy name, to praise Him. Put yourself aside for a moment and just glorify Him. Now, the third one, justice and righteous rule. David was glad to go to Jerusalem because of justice and righteous rule. Look at verse 5. He says, "For thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David." Jerusalem was where their main courts for judgment were established. Jerusalem was to be a city of justice, where God was honored and where evil was corrected. And so when we come here, one thing, we've come to do away with evil in our world. There is so much injustice going on around us. There is so much hate going on around us. There is so much unfair treatment going on around us. But in the house of God, there's justice. Did you just see a few minutes? We spent a minute praying and glorifying God and waging war against sin in our community. Why? Just for justice. We are doing away with evil. And so when we come here, we are doing away with evil. Over here, the only thing exalted is the word of God. It is only God who is just. It is not our courts. It is not our politicians. There are good ones amongst them, but it is not our political rule. It is by the word of God. And so when we come here and we open the word of God and we read and we apply it to our life, we are applying justice to our lives. And whereby, wherever there is injustice in our life and in our situations, God's justice come through for us. God's justice moves through us into our communities, changing and pushing away evil from our communities. Justice. And so, after He has told us how joyful He is and the reason to which He is so joyful to go to Jerusalem, He gives an instruction. Come with me in the verse 6. "Pray for peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you." Verse 7 says, "Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your places, for the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be with you. I will now say, peace be with you. in a church, one of the main, this is Charles Spurgeon speaking, and I want to quote him. Charles Spurgeon says, in a church, one of the main ingredients of success is eternal peace, strife, suspicion, party spirit, division. These are deadly things. Those who break the peace of the church deserve to suffer, and those who sustain it win a great blessing. This is Charles Spurgeon speaking. David understood that it is only God who gives peace. So he says, pray for peace. It is only God who gives peace. Many of us are looking for peace in the wrong places. Peace is not in the places that are set for other purposes. Peace is only in Jesus Christ. Peace is only in Jesus Christ. The word of God says that he is the Prince of Peace, and the Prince of Peace is the head of the church. And so when we come to him, we find peace. We find peace. Do you remember what he told his disciples when he resurrected and he appeared among them? He said, peace be upon you. Some of them were afraid. Ghost, he said, no, peace be upon you. Peace be upon you. The Lord gives peace. The Lord is the source of peace. You can't find peace in any other thing. You can't find peace in any addiction. I know some of us are addicted to so many different things. These days it is easy when we talk of peace to think of drug addiction. No. Many of us are addicted to other things. Some of us are addicted to relationships. Until I hear from this person what this person has to say, I can't make a decision of my own. We are always on the phone talking to somebody. Addiction to television. Addiction to media. The younger people here, we are looking for satisfaction in other things. And so anything else that occupies that emptiness and the quiet place of meditating and seeking God in our life, we want to replace it with something else. And most of the times, this takes us away from the love and the fear of God. This satisfies us momentarily, but it doesn't give us eternal peace. We need to seek eternal peace. And the only place is Jesus Christ. Only place. And so, children of God, talking about peace like that, we need to understand this. We must work for peace. Look at the verse 8. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I now say, peace be within you. And so he's saying that when he enters into Jerusalem, what he does is to share peace with one another. It's to share peace. And he says, peace be within you. We must work for peace. There are many ways we can work for peace, but I just want to state three things. Get rid of unforgiveness. Because of unforgiveness, many of us are suffering. We don't have peace. And look at Jesus, a man without sin, wrongfully accused, hanging on the Calvary cross. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He chose not to hold anything against anybody. And we, as children of God, need to allow this spirit of forgiving to be part of us. Today, people don't have peace because of unforgiveness. We hold so many things against people, so we don't have eternal peace. And there are some of us, all we do when we come together, you see, because we are different people coming together, all we do is cause problems amongst us. We need to stop. We have to be the bringer of peace. Peace is the fruit of the Holy Spirit.
And so if the Spirit of God dwells here amongst us, if the Spirit of God dwells in you as an individual, you need to have a character of peace. We must rate pride. Pride. Let's not forget, it is pride that caused Lucifer to become Satan. He desired within himself to rise against God. And so when we come together like this, humility has to be a focus. We all have to humble ourselves. No matter who you are, what you are, no matter what your status is, no matter what your background is, whether you are the pastor or you are the child in the house, you need to learn to be humble. Humility. Humility. The word of God says that I will oppose the pride. So God himself opposes you when you are a proud person. That is deep. Rid yourself of it. And have the peace that the Lord Jesus promises. The abundance of eternal peace. Why is it that Jesus has come to die on the Calvary cross to set us free, and yet still we don't have freedom? And the last one I want to point out, gossip. Gossip. Carrying from here and taking it there. Hearing this and taking it there. Some of us have become hearers and sayers. We are quick to hear. We are everywhere. We hear people talking. And then the moment we leave, did you hear? We have become spreaders. We spread news. Let us fight for peace. Let us work on peace. Did you hear what Pastor Barnes did? What did I do? Oh, did you hear? Did you hear? Please, please, take this from me. When a brother calls you and says, hey, did you hear? You say, pause. Pause, pause, pause. I haven't heard anything and I don't want to know. Please keep it to yourself. Keep it to yourself. Many of us has become kitchen sinks. You know what a kitchen sink is? We wash dirt. When you eat and your plate is dirty, you go to your kitchen sink and you wash it off. Everything that is dirty, we go to the kitchen sink and wash it. And some of us have made ourselves kitchen sink. We've allowed the devil to offload every rubbish onto us. Children of God, we must cancel this thing. Gossip. Get rid of it from amongst us. I'm telling you, if we are able to do these things, please try and get a copy of the message. It will be on our website. Meditate on it. Pray on it. Study the word of God. Allow this word to sink into your spirit. Because gossip is tearing the church apart. I am not ignorant of the problems we have. David wasn't ignorant of the struggles that Jerusalem was going through. But yet still, he says, peace be among you. We have to work at it. We can't just be praying for peace. We can't just be saying, oh, peace is amongst us. The church is a peaceful place to be. No, we have to work at peace. We need to put in work. Hard work. Hard work. We must actively purpose peace with all our hearts and strength. We must actively pursue peace with all our hearts and our strength. Peace. And so how do we actively pursue peace? We must learn to serve one another. Jesus said to his disciples, they that want to become greatest must learn to serve. We must serve. Look at the Lord Jesus, the
prince himself, the prince of heaven, coming on earth, this place that he himself created, humbling himself, becoming one with us, allowing us to treat him the way we did, in humility. And he never sought equality with God, always exalting God, always magnifying God, making it clear that he is the Son of God, but there is the Father. And before he went to the cross, calling his disciples and washing their feet, Peter says, "No, my Lord, you can't wash my feet." And he says, "Unless I wash your feet, you cannot be my disciple." We need to learn how to serve. Many of us don't have serving spirits. And because of that, the enemy is also accusing us before the Lord. You know, the devil is the accuser of the brethren. And so you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, he who came to die that you might have life abundantly. You have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, he has washed you of your sins, but because of your own pride, you give the devil an opportunity to go before God and say, "My God, you can't do this in this girl's life or this boy's life because he has opened this door for me to be in his life or her life." He's our accuser. And God is a just God. And so when the devil can find any legal ground in our life to frustrate us, God cannot intervene. All God can do, which is why the Holy Spirit is with us, always pointing to us the source of the legal grounds in our life. Always teaching us, bringing to memory, teaching us, encouraging us, this life, you have to get away from it. This attitude, you need to stop. Humble yourself. Study the word of God. Pray. Spend time in prayer. The Holy Spirit is doing this daily, minute, every hour, every second. Just so that the accuser does not win a hand on us. Because God is a just God. Serve one another. In this house, we must learn to serve. I have seen your hard work being around, and I see how some of you are committed to serving. God bless you. God bless you. You are doing well. Live a life committed to serving one another. Not just here, everywhere you go. Let the people of the world know that you are a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the mark of Jesus be upon you, that you are a servant. I have been in church so long, and I have seen so many characters, so many attitudes, so many personalities, so many behaviors. Some people don't even realize what they do. And which is why it is important for a man of God to be in the house, to call you and sit you down and tell you, "My child, my brother, my sister, this thing, if you don't stop, it will take you to hell." Get rid of it. Pray for peace. Pray for peace. We must devote ourselves to praying. And he has taught us how to pray. The praying should be that they prosper. We must desire that the people that come here, not this building must stay for us to come and worship in. So we must take good care of it. But prosperity has to be amongst us. We must prosper on all levels, emotionally, mentally, physically, psychologically, spiritually. We must prosper. When the worldly people see us, they must see that we are doing well, we are doing good. We are living well. We are blessed. Prosperity is not money. You can have money and live a life of hustle and struggle. I worked in the prayer and deliverance ministry for long, and I saw how people who had it all, they had it all, but they didn't have Christ in their life. It's not money. It's not money. We must prosper. David is desiring that we pray for the prosperity. Our children must prosper here. They must do good at school. They must do good. Their giftings must show. So we need to pray. That is why we can't be lazy. That is why we can't stay home when we are calling for prayers. We need to pray. There are things to pray about. Look at the community we live in. See how many empty seats are in this place. If we are prospering here in word, if the people are passing and they are seeing the work at the work of God, at the vision, the visual appearance of God in us, through us, you think they will take us for granted? They can't. Pray, Lord, that we might prosper. Intercessors, when you come together, pray for prosperity of the people. Pray for the prosperity of us here. Pray for the prosperity of the brothers and sisters, the other Christians who are not here. Pray for the prosperity of the bigger church, the Christians in Africa who are struggling. Pray for the Christians in other land who are being persecuted. Pray for prosperity, peace among you. Prosperity. Prosperity. You see, it is not the steps. The steps are good. We can look through the Bible and see steps in scripture where how you can live your life to be successful in life. The scripture talks of how to even save money, how to go about your life. There's so many things. How to even have a personal hygiene. The scripture talks of all these things. How to live a successful marital life. There are so many steps in the scriptures. But while we study, we need to understand that there is a place for prayer. If we are studying it and we are not praying, it cannot begin to bear fruit in our life. Amen. And we want the fruit in our life, not the knowledge. Wisdom is the right application of knowledge. And so when you have the knowledge and you can't apply it, I'm not going to use the word. Now you need the Spirit to help you. And so, children of God, what I came to say, I have finished. We need to understand this. God's house is somewhere we need to look up to. God desires us to come in His presence. God desires us to have fellowship with Him. God wants us to live for Him. And we must do it with all our hearts, in all seriousness. We are going to pray. We are going to pray. We're going to pray that God help me live a life of peace. Help me live a life of peace. You know yourself. You know the things you're doing, the way you walk in your life. Ask yourself, am I the source of peace among the people of God? If you are not, just start repenting. Repent. If you are not doing enough in keeping the peace amongst us, start praying. Ask God to help you. If you are living with any form of addiction, pray and ask the Lord Jesus to set you free, liberate you, and give you eternal peace. We need what it takes to be joyful people. And it is one area in our life the devil is seeking for, to take our joy from us. Pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. Ask him to take full charge of you. Ask him to be in full control of you. Yield yourself, surrender to him. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Pray in Jesus' name. Jesus, we yield to you. We surrender to you. Help us to pursue peace. Help us to pursue peace. Help us to pray for peace. Whatever it is, leave it here before you go. Over here, God will deal with it. Leave it here. If it is unforgiveness, deal with it. Decide to forgive. Get rid of it. Whatever offense you know you have caused someone, ask for forgiveness. And when you leave from here, if it is possible, contact the person and talk to them. Make amends. Work on this. Ask his peace to come into your heart. Ask him for peace. The Lord says that, "Lo, I will be with you to the end." He promises his presence with us forever. And he can give us peace. So ask him for it. Whatever you are battling, whether it is an abuse, a particular abuse you are going through, ask him to help you through. Whether it is financial issue, financial battle, ask the Lord to take you through. Whatever it is, whether it is peer pressure at school, ask the Lord to help you. Whether it is bullying at school, ask God to help you. And don't just ask for help. If you're a young person here and you're facing bullying at school, my office is open at the back. Come, let us talk and let us journey with you to get your freedom from whatever you're going through. Whatever form of abuse you are going through, there is somebody here. God is saying you are holding something against your husband because he abused you and you can't forgive. You've been holding it against the person. God says you should let it go. He would deal with the man himself, but you need to leave it into his hands. He's willing to walk with you. There's somebody here, occasionally you go for weed. Occasionally, it is something you don't want to do, but occasionally you go for it. The Lord is saying, leave it into his hands today. Decide that you want to live for him and you want your freedom from this addiction, and he will take it from you. There is a lot of sexual immorality in the house. God
is saying, leave it. He says, over here, he will deal with it. He will deal with it. He says, leave it for him. Don't love that feeling that you get from that habit, because it will take you to hell. It is pulling you away from his love. I feel him very sad. Sexual immorality will draw you from the love of our Lord. But he says he loves you. That is why he came to die for you. Today, if you have heard his voice, come to him. Leave it at his feet. Glory to God. Glory to God. Somebody here, you've been designed to spend time in prayer and worship. Most of the time you try to pray and you fall asleep. You sleep. He says that it is not normal. And so you must change your approach to the way you try to pray. Says, I will deliver you for deliverance. It's my purpose for you that you will live a life of freedom for the Father. I will deliver you and show myself mighty and strong through you. I will do exceedingly an abundant thing with you. If you can only come on this journey I'm calling you on. This journey I'm calling you on is a journey of sacrifice. And the Father is looking for people who will sacrifice, who will be sacrificial offering to the Father. Because the journey ahead you is treacherous. But I have come that you will have peace. I have come to help you. I will help you and encourage you and lift your arm. Give yourself. Glory to God. Beautiful. Now as I feel the Lord, I start to understand why David rejoiced to be in his presence. Father, I commit your children into us. Shall we please rise in the house? Glory to God. Please rise. Please rise. Glory to God. Please rise. Lord, we commit ourselves into your holy hands. We give our totalities to you. We surrender. We surrender, Spirit of our living God. You have your way with us. You let your will be done in our lives. Use us for your glory. Use us for your glory. Use us for your honor. We bless you. We give you ourselves. Tell the Lord, give yourself to Him. Tell the Lord, give yourself to Him. Give yourself to Him. Give Him your heart. Give Him your mind. Give Him your totality. Give Him your body. There are some of you, He says, if you give yourself well, He will use you. He will use your body to be a blessing to others. There are some of you, you've been seeking for long to carry the mantle of healing. And He says, if you give yourself to Me, I will use you in healing. You will touch the sick and they will be healed.
We give ourselves to You, Lord. As You love the church and You gave Yourself for her, have Your way in our life, we pray. We thank You, Lord. We bless You and we exalt You. We praise You, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, be magnified, be praised, in Jesus' name. Amen.